This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, Friday. What's up and welcome in. It's August 8th, 2025, and you are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. And it's not just any Friday, by the way. This is a different kind of Friday. This is a game day Friday.
Hey-o!
The wait is over. Football is back in the nation's capital. What's up, everybody? Grant Paulson. Danny is out. Vacation continues. I believe we'll be back Monday from Scotland, unless he just decides he really likes it and wants to stay there and live there. Linnell is in today, and we will take you up to 6:30 as we get you closer and closer to the kickoff of the preseason, the Commanders in New England to take on the Patriots tonight. Linnell, this is a rite of passage for me every summer. I get so excited about a preseason game one just because of how long it's been, just because of wandering through the desert. And I know the water is not going to taste that good. I know that the water is probably even going to be unfulfilling. Don't care.
Yeah.
Last night, I was jacked up. I get home. I plop down on the couch. My wife's like, what are you doing? And I was like, preseason games are starting right now. Like, within minutes of walking in the door. And she's like, well, I thought the Commanders played tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, the Colts are playing. She's like, why do you care about that? I'm like, Anthony Richardson versus Daniel Jones. Every year I do this to myself, Linnell, where you look forward to these games. You get excited, and then we all know that the flames are not as good as the smoke here, but for my sure. God, I can't wait. 7:30, we are 5.5 hours away from a football game.
Can't wait for it. Like last night, the best way I can describe it is like a long itch finally getting scratched, right? And we had the Hall of Fame game last week, but thanks to our pal Terry McLaurin, that was mainly just a big platform for us to get spoken about, talking about the Commanders, but last night watching Colts and Ravens here in studio as I'm doing overtime, it just felt right, GP. And I think for tonight in particular, and we've said this off the record, on the record, multiple times throughout the offseason, I think this is going to be one of the more difficult football teams to make in my lifetime because I think they're pretty loaded at a couple of different spots. The position battles are always fun throughout the preseason, but I think this year in particular, with some more household names fighting for roster spots, we're going to be a lot more intrigued. The nerds out there that love this stuff, this is for you, baby.
I don't know that they are going to cut a lot of players that help other teams this year, but here's where I'm going to agree with you. It's definitely a more competitive back end of the roster that I've seen in a long time. And there are going to be more guys cut from this Commanders team that people have heard of and who have had NFL careers. Like, I think that wide receiver group, that KJ Osborne, Michael Gallup group, like those guys are not all making this team.
No.
One or two of those guys get stashed on the practice squad. And that's not the caliber of receiver they were cutting over the years. A guy like that comes in and he's your fifth receiver or sixth receiver. I think someone like Chris Rodriguez, who doesn't make this football team in any 53 that I put together, I like Chris Rodriguez. Here's my hot take.
Uh-oh.
I think the difference between him and Brian Robinson is negligible, right? Robinson is your bell cow first and second down starter. You drafted in the third round out of Alabama, albeit in a previous regime. Rodriguez will be on the P squad or somewhere else getting some work at some point this season. But, he's not going to make the team. And to me, that is a really big sign of growth. Last year, he didn't make the team, but it was one of those numbers things where you know, you could have him on the practice squad or the regular season. He's going to be active a bunch. This is a, sorry, buddy, we have no room for you because we drafted a seventh rounder we really like because McNichols showed out last year, who I don't even know if he makes the roster. I think they're intrigued by Kaz Allen, who can play some receiver, some running back. You'll see him tonight. But, yeah, Linnell, overall, I would just say they have more talent and there are more veterans with resumes that will get cut than have been the case here in a while.
Yeah, and I think that's like the point here. And I think it speaks to the job that Adam Peters and company have done in their short time here in Washington, making this a more competitive outfit, kind of weeding out the bad apples and the guys that are not Commander fans. And it feels like as we get geared up for the opener tonight, like there, and we'll talk about it throughout the show, there are a couple of spots that I'm really keyed in terms of the position battles. But there are a couple of names that we'll go through here as well. I just think the opportunity that guys are going to be afforded tonight is huge. We've watched them throughout training camp to this point. It's always a guy that, and this happens every year, GP, where maybe we're not talking about him a lot in training camp, but then, boom, preseason comes, and this kid is making a whole bunch of plays and looks like he could be a guy that you can stash maybe at the back end of your roster. That's probably what intrigues me the most tonight. We do know that we're not going to see starters, and not seeing Jaden Daniels tonight is going to bring a little tear down your boy's cheek. Especially when you consider like what Cincinnati did last night, playing their guys for an entire quarter.
Well, in fairness, though, opener. I mean, the Bengals are just correcting a wrong. You know, they get off to the worst starts in the league every year. And so this year, they're going to zig where they've zagged. They were the team, like the Rams, who didn't play any of their guys or take these games seriously. And they feel like it's a factor in why they get off to the terrible starts. It probably is. But regardless, I think injuries to Joe Burrow, some other things are factors. They're doing everything differently. If they used to eat Cocoa Puffs, now they're eating Fruit Loops, right? If they used to practice at 8 a.m., they've changed to practicing at 2 p.m. And so one of the things that's changed is last night, to your point, we're seeing Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase down the field in a preseason game against backups. And it's like, all right, if you got to get your work in, get your work in. No harm, no foul. I like it. I'm old school. Andy Reid still plays his starters.
Yeah.
And he announced yesterday that Patrick Mahomes will go a quarter. Now, I don't think he will. I'll take the under on that. He almost never does. Reid always says he's going to play a quarter in the first game. But don't let that mistake the larger point. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let that take away from the fact that here is a perennial Super Bowl caliber team with arguably the best coach in the NFL ever, and certainly right now, and Andy Reid, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's a guy that likes the preseason and wants to play starters. We'll talk about, you know, Jaden Daniels' playtime in this preseason and what we hope it looks like in a little bit. Real quick, before we get into tonight's game, though, and what we're looking forward to seeing. I saw this today. I thought this was notable, and I thought this was just a chance for Commanders fans to smell the roses a little bit. Fox put out their announcement of their broadcast teams this year. And I won't bore everyone going through them all, although the broadcast nerd in me would like to do detailed breakdowns on each of the triumvirates and who's going to have a good year and who isn't in the booth. But the reason I bring this up is that they also announced that the A-team, so that is Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady, Aaron Andrews, and Tom Rinaldi on the sideline, they're going to be in Landover, Maryland in week one for the Giants and the Commanders. Now, I don't want to tell you the Giants have no interesting storylines. Their general manager, Joe Shane, their head coach, Brian Daboll, are both fighting for their jobs. Their quarterback situation is not all that good, and they have three guys all vying for the same gig. Russell Wilson will be making his Giants debut. They've got a superstar player in the making in Malik Nabers, right? So there are some stories that will be worth monitoring nationally. Plus, it's the New York market, biggest media market in America outside of L.A. Like, you're going to get some people tuning in. But make no mistake, Linnell, this is about the Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels. How much did we talk about all the primetime games that they got under the lights on Thursday, Sunday, Monday night? We didn't really account for the fact that when they play on Sundays, the very, very rare situations anymore where they play at 1 o'clock, they're going to be getting a lot of A-teams. They'll be nationally televised. So people's first look at Jaden Daniels in 2025 will come very early.
I'm excited about it, man. It got me thinking about, like, childhood growing up, like, it felt like, when's the last time we've had the A-team for a season opener? Like, I got to go back to, like, the 9-11 game where Ryan Kerrigan has, like, the pick six against the Giants. That's honestly the last time it felt like that. I know there's been a Monday night game that we've opened up with against Pittsburgh when Kirk Cousins and Jay was here. But, like, it just speaks to your point, like, the excitement around this team. People care for the first time in a long time about this group. And last year, right, this is the difference to me. Last year it felt like people didn't really care until, like, the Cincinnati game was kind of like their coming out party. It's on Monday Night Football. But it felt like it took us to get to 5-2, 6-2 before people went, hey, that's a team we should be caring about. The difference this year, you're getting that attention from the outset of the season. Kevin Burkhardt company are in town. Brady's here. Like, let's go. Like, I'm super ready for it.
Could be a blessing. Could be a curse.
Well, I mean, yeah. That's
the tough
part.
They're going to determine that, yes. How they handle their own prosperity. Last year, they were able to, for the first time around here in a long, long time. Didn't seem like they read their press clippings. Didn't seem like those things caught up to them. But, yeah, the way I'm putting it is they matter again.
Yeah.
Nationally, this league is better when this football team in the nation's capital is relevant, and they are an important team. They are a playoff-bound team, according to the pundits and the experts. You know, we were talking on the show a few days ago, Toby and I, and we both said it feels like if they don't make the playoffs after last year's NFC Championship game run, even if you think that was pyrite, like that's fool's gold, fine, no problem. You don't need to get back to the NFC Championship game for me to feel good. But if you don't get to the playoffs, it will feel like they took a step back. Now, my personal goal is, as long as at the end of this year, Jaden Daniels is healthy again and has left any trepidation I had about his durability and frame behind him. Now you're 2 years into the league. You've been proven you can take the hits and stay healthy with your style of play. All right, I can now cross that off of my worry list. And if he can cement himself, Linnell, as the best of the rest quarterback behind the big four Mount Rushmore, or maybe even
– yeah.
If he's really special again, make that a five quarterback group. Like for years, it's been Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar. It's those four in a tier, and then we can kind of fight over crumbs after that for who's fifth. And if Jaden either becomes the best of the rest and going into next year, it feels like he's the number five quarterback in the league, everybody agrees, awesome. Or God forbid, I mean, this would just be the best. If he goes out and has an amazing season, stays healthy, plays at an MVP level again, and now it's a five-player group, and you're trying to figure out where to put him with Lamar Jackson or a Joe Burrow. That, to me, I don't care what their record is the win this season, because it means every single year you're going to be a 10-ish win team that has a chance with this guy in tow.
And that's what it's all about, and I totally agree with you. Like, everything, I know it's fun to talk about, you know, chasing the ghost of last year and trying to get back to the conference championship game. Like, this isn't me being a Debbie Downer. Like, it's, I don't want to use the word unlikely, but like, you caught lightning in a bottle last year is what it felt like, if we're being honest about it. And that's what happens in the postseason for every team that goes on an extended run. You got to have some things bounce your way. But to your point, GP, like, it's all about five. Everything you did this offseason was centered around Jaden Daniels. So I think the regular season's got to be viewed that way as well. I'm just curious.
Which
to
is
see-
why, by the way, mm-hmm. Tag you back in a second. It is why the McLaurin thing is so odd to me.
Right. Because it's
because
like, yes.
You go get Laremy Tunsil. You didn't have to. It was the right thing to do. I loved it.
Yeah.
They could have easily just ran Brandon Coleman back into year two and felt
exactly.
Like he'll get better and he'll be a serviceable left tackle. They didn't. They made a huge trade, gave up a bunch of picks, went and got Tunsil. They're going to have to pay next year. And you don't bring him in if you're not anticipating doing that. Then, in the first round, you could take a corner. You could take a wide receiver. There's a lot of things they could have done, and they said, we got to shore up our offensive line. We got to go get another tackle to protect the other side of Jaden Daniels. And it was awesome. I thought the offseason in that way was kind of the dream for me. Because
yeah,
once you
right
find the quarterback,
like, yeah.
The whole goal is answering the question every single time. Is this move help our QB? Then let's do it. Does this move help our QB? Let's do it. Someone wants to change the type of coffee you have in the cafeteria. What does Jaden think? Like, that's how they should be operating, essentially. And now his number one wide receiver is nowhere to be found. So that adds to the curiousness of how they've handled the McLaurin thing. I don't even think they're wrong, per se. I think they're more right than Buddy Baker and Terry McLaurin are on the money that we're hearing.
Yeah.
But I don't think that being right is the most important thing here.
No.
I think that getting this guy to play football again as soon as possible should be the goal. Not getting the perfect number so that you're not spending a few million too much.
And that's why I'm fine and really not losing sleep over it going either way. Like, if this Terry McLaurin holdout, as I kind of think it will, drags closer to week one and into the start of the regular season, hey, this is a perfect opportunity for Jaden Daniels to prove, hey, I am a bona fide guy. Because the one thing I'll say about the four horsemen, right, as you referenced, Lamar, Burrow, Josh Allen, Mahomes, they all make everyone around them better. And I think we saw Jaden do that last year, but it's, you know, looked at through a different lens because of the schedule and things of that nature. You have a legitimate NFL outfit each and every week. The Browns and the Panthers aren't popping up on your schedule this year. So, you know, he's going to have the opportunity week in, week out, whether it's with McLaurin or not, because I think at this point, to think that they're going to be able to start fast. Even if he signs today, GP, and is in the second preseason game next Monday night against Cincinnati, you would expect this offense to maybe, you know, start off a little bit slow out of the gate. I think Jayden Daniels has the chance to, like, you know, change that narrative in my mind in terms of I don't need McLaurin. And I know we all think that, yeah, him having him around makes Jayden the best version of himself. But I do think, you know, part of me, the center in me, thinks like, I would be curious to see Jayden Daniels without Terry McLaurin and how much better he'd be able to make the other guys around him and how functional this offense would be. The one thing we spoke about, you know, last time we were together, GP, and it's been a kind of a thing that I've looked at all offseason long here, he can't lead this team in rushing yards next year. He was a leading rusher on the team last year. That can't be the formula this year to me, and then they still have success and make the playoffs. You take Terry McLaurin away, it feels like you're going to be relying on Jayden Daniels' legs
a lot
more.
I bet on him leading this team in rushing yards. Who would?
I mean,
now, part of this for me is I just – Brian Robinson is what Brian Robinson's been as far as I'm concerned. I think he's going to play 14 or so games. He'll be banged up occasionally because he's a big body, big target, takes on contact, physical, exactly. So that's just not a guy that's going to play 18 weeks, 17 games very likely. But even so, you know, you're playing him on first and second down. You're spelling out of the gun, out of the spread. Some Austin Ekeler on those downs as well. He's on the field on third. I think Merritt has a good chance to cut into his carry load as the year goes on. Some of it is just that there's a lot of mouths to feed. But you don't have a 1,000-yard back on this team. I think you probably have, you know, a leading back somewhere in the 500 to 700-yard range. Well, Jayden will unequivocally be over that. I mean, Lamar every year is 800, 900. I think that's what Jayden Daniels is. People take it as a slight to call him a running quarterback. Like, he is an exceptional passer. I think he's a better passer than Lamar, and it's in his infancy. He's only going to get better. But part of the superpower is still going to be pulling the ball down and making plays. So I would be surprised if he didn't lead them in rushing. I want to go back to the point you made, though, about those other quarterbacks as elevators of the guys around them. I think that's obviously true. And if Daniels is an MVP type who every single year, regardless of talent around him, just is the great eraser, you know, just makes everything better, like a Allen who just won the award, or like Mahomes who has a couple in his, you know, on his mantle, I think that he will be that guy. But I think two things will be true. Yes, he'll make Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane and Chris Moore better. But this receiver room, sans Terry McLaurin, is still way worse than any of the other rooms any of those guys have.
Yes.
In other words, like, if you brought in Josh Allen here, Allen has a hard time dragging those guys as a passing game where he needs to. And there's just no reason to figure that out now. I get it. You're like, I'm kind of excited to see what it looks like. I'm not at all.
I hear that.
There's no reason to. Like, why? So we can, like, put our chests out and say Jayden did it? Who cares? Surround him with talent. Have the best situation possible for the most important player in your person in your organization. And there's, like, we could find out, like, I could see, I wonder if my 12-year-old could stay home alone and not get scared. Or I could just hire a damn babysitter. Like, what is the value of knowing that exactly?
For sure. I think, like you're saying, the putting him in the best position to succeed possible is what you should do here. But I think we saw it a little bit last year when, you know, Terry McLaurin wasn't being targeted and wasn't featured, you know, in the offense. They were able to, you know, make lemonade out of lemons, so to speak, with the personnel that they had. I called it a JV-like wide receiver room last year behind Terry McLaurin. I like the group a little bit more this year, but I think to prove that you are a real elite quarterback in this league, doing it with a less than supporting cast is definitely one of those boxes I feel like you have to check. I think Jayden, in terms of ball placement and accuracy, like, that to me is his number one trait. So I do feel like it is a situation where, yeah, maybe you don't have to have the top of the class wide receiver in order to have a bunch of success. But to close out on this, like, to your point, they're a way worse group without McLaurin. And then the other thing is this. Who's the guy in that skill room that you have to game plan for if there is no Terry McLaurin?
Well, if they're right about Debo, it could be him. But that's a big jump from where he was last year. That's reverting back to multiple seasons ago. But I think he has to be the answer if they don't have McLaurin, if their offense is going to be what we need it to be around these parts.
Debo can't be the best version of himself without McLaurin. He opens everything up underneath in terms of having that deep threat that gets defenses to play on is
certainly helps. But Debo multiple years ago, and just a couple seasons ago, like he didn't need Brandon Ayuk to be Debo. Like he takes a ball behind the line of scrimmage and he runs through a couple dudes and he picks up a first down. He was running the 15-yard digs and traditional stuff and making plays. The question is, does he still have that game? I don't know. Does he still have that club in the bag, or did he leave it at Topgolf? We're going to find out here in about a month. Probably not tonight, but there is a game tonight, and we want to get into that next. Let's talk about the guys who are actually going to be on the field. I want you to put together, Linnell, a list of the three players you're most excited to watch tonight. I'm going to do the same, and then we'll hit the phones on this as well. Give us the Commanders player you are most pumped up to see, what they look like in their preseason debut in 2025. You can call us now, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're about 5 hours from kickoff. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Linnell's in for Danny. This is Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30, 4 hours from now. Commanders, Patriots kicking off in 5 hours tonight, and we're excited for preseason football. So here's the deal, Linnell. We're going to go through our top three players we're most excited to watch make their debut under the lights in a game. And we'll see what our lists look like. We'll compare them, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-636-1067. So I'll start us off with Jalen Lane.
Yeah.
I have just been enamored with the speedster out of Virginia Tech at practice. It's funny. The first couple of days of practice, I didn't really notice him. And I said, all right, where's Jalen Lane? Let's see what's going on. And then you see he's running with basically the second to third team. Not a whole lot to see, really. But then within a week, you're back at practice, and he's getting some first team reps. By the end of his time in Ashburn, before they went to New England, it was clockwork. He would get out there with the ones, and Jaden Daniels would immediately target him. both would happen in succession almost simultaneously every single time. He checks in, he gets a target. There was a route where I was watching him against Jonathan Jones, longtime NFL corner, going to help them this year in the secondary. He routed him up on an out route, left him basically falling over as he caught a ball and got up past the line of scrimmage, past the line to gain and out of bounds for a first down. That's not even the impressive stuff. It's the downfield stuff where he just gets open and leaks behind everybody. I know he wasn't a household name coming out of Virginia Tech, but he runs a 4.3, 4.40. He's a fourth-round pick. I am really excited to see what he looks like tonight in this preseason game.
I think if we're going to talk about life without Terry McLaurin early on in the season, he could be a guy that eases the pain and that blow, because he's the only other guy in that receiver room, GP, that I think puts fear in the heart of defenses in terms of taking the top off and being that explosive vertical threat, someone that can stress defenses going down the field. And when we're talking about the Deebo Samuels of the world and the Austin Ecklers and those guys that need space to operate underneath, you know, how do you get that? It's a guy like Jalen Lane showing that he can take the top off. My other thing with Lane, GP, that I worry about with young wide receivers, especially in this offense, he's a sleight of frame guy. How competitive is he going to be at the point of attack as a blocker in the run game and in the screen game? Because that'll help him get on the field faster.
Yeah, he's going to have to figure that part out. I don't think that's going to be a strength at his size, obviously. But I would say if you've been out there a bunch, and Linnell hasn't, and I know I've been out at a bunch of practices, and you're labeling the dudes who have had the best camps at receiver, it's him and Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
You know, in the non-Terry McLaurin world, that's the list. Now, that doesn't mean he's ready for the bright lights, but we'll get an indicator tonight of what that looks like for Jalen Lane. Number one on my list, guys I'm most excited to watch. Give me yours.
The number one guy on my list is Tyler Owens, the undrafted safety that they got last year out of Texas Tech. Played mostly a special teams role last year, got a couple of snaps on the defense. But throughout camp, GP, and you've been out there, he's running with the first team a lot of the time. We've seen a lot of three safety looks with him, Quan Martin, and Will Harris, the acquisition from the New Orleans Saints. I just think for Tyler Owens, there's just so many different ways that they can use him. He has that Jeremy Chinn body type to where, you know, he looks good getting off the bus, as you like to say, GP. I just think last year he showed he's a war daddy on special teams. This year in camp, they've lined him up in the slot at slot corner. We've seen him in the deep half as the post safety, and he just hasn't blinked. There was a play the last time that I was out there that he's one-on-one in the slot against Deebo Samuel, and the coverage is textbook. So if he is able to do that part of the game, I think he'll be fine. What I'm curious to see with him tonight, it's different running down on special teams, Grant, and making a tackle than it is being in the flow of a defense, having to run fit and be in your gap. I want to see how he handles that, the physicality of being a box safety. But other than that, I think he's got super high upside, especially as a blitzer too.
Yeah, he played 74% of snaps as a special teamer last year, played in 12 games, did deal with an injury, didn't get on the field defensively, and I would bet on that changing if he can make this roster this year. Because as you said, at practice, they use him at the safety position a bunch. And there was actually one particular rep where he really stood out to me. Deebo had run this like slot fade kind of that Jaden threw beautifully at LSU constantly. And he had beaten someone. I don't even remember. It might have been Amos or somebody. It was actually really, really tight, good coverage. But he had run this route to perfection. It was a perfect throw by Daniels, perfect catch. Well, they went right back to that like a series later. And it was Tyler Owens. And with his length, he was able to make a play and break it up. And the idea that he could flip his hips and run as basically a linebacker tweener type, he's got a really impressive length to him. But, yeah, he is kind of a player who can play in the box or play deep. And out of Texas and Texas Tech, you know, he's long been intriguing to them, clearly, after they brought him into the organization last year. Now, year two, more is expected of him. All right, I'm going to go to number two on my list.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the offense. I'm going with, I won't even get cute here, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the guy they call Bill. This one's easy. This is a layup. Doesn't need to be described a whole lot. But I don't remember a player who's ever gotten more attention, more fan appeal and love and interest before he played a down as a seventh-round pick than Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. Now, this is not a knock. I am one of the guys that's sitting on the bus where we're all going to watch him play. I might be sitting in the front row, all right? I'm excited to watch him. He has stood out to me. He looks as impressive as any running back they've had in camp. But this is my 26th training camp being around this team. And I'm telling you, Linnell, I'm an old person apparently. But I'm telling you, the love that people fall and the passion with which they you know, become addicted to certain players that may make the roster, it doesn't happen yet normally. Lake Seastrunk, nobody was claiming he was about to be the next great Redskin before the preseason started. Sutan McCullough, Marcus Mason, you name your guy, Marco Mitchell, Terrence Austin, any of these dudes who went out there and became the talk of the preseason, it happened after the games. Like 2 days into training camp, the merit thing was already full bore. You got national fantasy people today all having a big Ja'Cory Kroski merit convention at this point. Matthew Berry is saying everybody needs to watch him tonight across the country. I've just never really seen this much hype for a guy, and I hope he delivers the goods and flashes a couple plays like we've been seeing in practice.
One thing that, like, it's been like a revelation for me over the past couple of days, GP, I think we're looking at the wrong back in terms of who Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt's going to take snaps from. I think he's got the chance to take snaps from Austin Eckler. I look at Brian Robinson to still be this bruising first and second down back. I think Bill can come in and be, the way he's looked in practice, how explosive he's looked on these jump cuts and things of that nature. Like, I think he can eat into some Austin Eckler snaps in terms of being a pass catcher out of the backfield. He's looked good in that role as well. The big thing for me with Bill is going to be, how does he do in pass protection? But it wouldn't surprise me if by season's end, like, those are the two guys that have the most touches and carries at the running back spot.
It's possible. Look, Eckler last year was just more effective and more efficient than Brian Robinson, and I didn't think it was that close. So that's where I lean toward. You put the guys on the field that can pop something, you know, that can make something happen. Eckler in the open field, especially early last year before he starts to get banged up in the concussions. Yeah, he's just shifty. It was like slicing through the secondary like a knife through butter, and he just had wiggle that we haven't really seen. Robinson doesn't really have as much of that, but I just think Merritt, there's no reason he can't be out there on first and second. My only gripe with a third down role for him is I haven't seen him in pass protection, to your point. I don't know if a linebacker's coming downhill, does he make that play? If he's got a – you know, the reads there are difficult. Ask Anthony Richardson last night. Just figuring out who guys are coming from, where they're coming from, who's coming, who isn't. You basically have to be a quarterback with your hands on your knees in the backfield at running back at the snap. And maybe he'll be really good at that. I know Austin Eckler's phenomenal at it, and I'm just not letting anybody touch the field until they've mastered that chorus because number five's – jersey being clean is more important than anything they're doing as a rusher. I promise you that right now. All right, let me get to number three then. Or you got to go number two.
My number two guy, Johnny Newton. I feel like he's on a lot of our lists. I don't know how much we're going to see of him tonight. This defensive line room, I think I've been like gushing over him ever since I got to see him in training camp for the first time. Just think it's a really well-coached group with Daryl Tapp and Ryan Kerrigan and Sharif Floyd. All three guys that have had success in the National Football League, and I got the chance to talk to Johnny the other day. There's just a quiet confidence that he has, and when you think about what this offseason was for him, not worrying about rehab, and it's really getting stronger. I compare him, Grant, to like a fire hydrant. Like, that's how he's built, low center of gravity, thick. My thing with him is, like, he could end up being the interior guy that has the most pass rush pop and pass rush juice, and I think tonight we should be able to see that. The other thing for him is, can you be strong and drop your butt and anchor against double teams? That's an area where Washington struggled last year. Third most yards allowed before contact in the NFL last year. So,
yeah, bottom five in rushing yards per attempt and rushing yards per game. Why they got big, you know, went and got Eddie Goldman and Javon Kinlaw, because I don't think they want Newton to have to be that guy.
Right.
I think situationally, you don't exclusively use him on passing downs, but to your point, as a pass rusher, go back and watch him in Illinois, people. Like, what he did was got up the field, gobbled up the assignment in front of him, and basically just disrupted. You know, he was a pocket pusher, a pocket havoc wreaker. I'd like to see him get to that early on this season, because that was kind of the hope I had. Last year was way quieter than what I would have anticipated. Played in 16 games, started 11, only had the two sacks.
He came on down the stretch, though. I'll give you
that. He did. He played better. But seven quarterback hits, six TFLs. I would have taken the over on all those numbers. Yeah. I was super high on him. But I do think we forget, this time last year, he's got like two different feet issues. He had the 1 foot issue where he was on the field, then another foot problem. He got to camp late. He started preseason late. This has not been that. You know, his whole offseason's been different.
Yeah.
I think he could make a pretty significant leap. I like that you point him out, because we've not talked a lot about him. I'm not quite as high on him as I was. I mean, going back a year ago, like, I thought
the mystiques were off a little bit for you.
Well, it's not even like I'm down on him. It's just I thought when they drafted him that he could become, this is going to sound crazy, but like maybe an all-pro defensive tackle.
It's not crazy, GP. He was billed as like a first-round pick. Like,
right.
Dudes had first-round grades on him. It was the foot injury that caused him to slide. So
agreed.
I totally agree.
But I just haven't seen anything that makes me think that that's the ceiling. But I still think, right now, this moment, like, I would bet on him to have as many sacks as Daron Payne.
Okay.
I think he could have 5.5, 6.5 sacks this year. Would not surprise me and just be a really impactful D-tackle. All right, for me, number three. So I went Jalen Lane, rookie wide receiver. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, rookie running back. I'm going to go up the draft board here and stick with another rookie. I got to type, I guess. All these kids making their debuts. Assuming he plays, and I don't know why he wouldn't, as a second rounder making his first ever start, you want to get him on the field and get him through some of the motions here in August, Trey Amos.
Yeah.
And it's not even about finding out with Trey Amos. I know this is going to sound silly. I want people to see what we've gotten to see at practice.
Yeah.
I am so high on him. He looks like an NFL player. The length, the physicality, the ability to turn and run with guys. He is just absolutely locked down. Now, again, mostly working against receivers that aren't very good at Commanders practice right now. But occasionally, I mentioned the play with Debo earlier, best throw, best catch maybe of camp. It's Amos that's right there, step for step. You can't cover a play any better. I want to see what it looks like against NFL wide receivers, running routes you haven't seen a lot of yet. New England's playbook is not a playbook you've got in your hotel room, but I'm excited about him, and I hope people get to see one or two plays where you can tell, okay, this is why everybody is so intrigued.
He's just got a confidence about him, and I guess that's what happens when you play, you know, high-level corner in the SEC. Like, he's never scared. He walks up to receivers impressed with this machismo about him that I absolutely love. The one thing that we haven't gotten to see from him that I know has got to be a big part of, you know, this defense, if you're going to play corner here for Joe Witt, how do you run fit? Are you scared to, you know, get your face mask on the football and get your face dirty? I don't think he'll be, you know, afraid, but I want to see, you know, how it looks in real game action, because we know Mike Vrabel and company are going to try to run the football right at you. But yeah, like, Trey Amos has been as advertised, man. He's honestly exceeded my expectations, and it makes me buy more what they said on draft night that he could have been their first round pick.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played in camp like a guy that would have belonged in the back end of the first round. So I've got Lane, Merritt, Amos, three guys from this draft class that I'm monitoring most closely tonight. You've gone with back-to-back second-year players in Tyler Owens and Johnny Newton. Let's round this thing out.
I'm going to stick with the theme of defense, and I'm going to go with someone from this year's draft class. Kane Medrano out of UCLA has an opportunity tonight and throughout the rest of camp, depending on the health of Jordan McGee, to solidify himself as this team's third linebacker. Think about what we heard leading up to the draft and then what we've heard to this point in camp about how they wanted Jordan McGee to be that guy last year, and they wanted to go with more of that traditional 4-3 set. Well, Jordan McGee once again is on the trainer's table and is opening up an opportunity for Kane Medrano, who, like Jalen Lane, I would say, GP, didn't really stick out the first couple of practices of camp. But as he's gotten more and more opportunity, I think you've seen him flash and make plays. He's got the ability to run, and I think he can cover too. How does he tackle? That was the big weakness coming out of college. We'll get to see that tonight.
All right, we've set the table for you guys. Let's sit down and eat next.
Let's do it.
800-636-1067. Danny's out, Linnell's in. Preseason football tonight for the Commanders on the road against the Patriots. Those are the six guys that we're most jacked up to watch play. Who's number one on your list that you can't wait to see this evening? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sam Monson of the 33rd team will take us around the NFL coming up at 3:30 today. Had a batch of preseason games last night, three more tonight, and then a dose over the weekend. We'll hit the headlines with him. Doug Key to the Boston Herald helps us to scout the Patriots coming up at 5 o'clock. But right now on Grant and Danny, Linnell's in today. I'm Grant Paulson with you on The Fan. We are looking ahead to this evening's first preseason game for the Commanders, as they are in New England. We just gave you the three players we're most excited to watch. We want to know who number one on your priority list is this evening. Let's go to Tony in Dumfries on G&D.
What's up, Tony?
Tony, what's good? How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How about yourself?
Good, man.
Well,
I heard you guys talking about Austin Eckler, and I wanted to say he posted on social media of him doing one-arm pull-ups. He's an absolute unit. But the one player that I actually want to see the most, I know Zach Ertz is the main guy, but I really want to see how Ben Sinnott has progressed and how he does and if he gets any targets or anything like that. I just want to see how he's progressed.
Well, remember, thanks for the call, the play that Ben Sinnott made against the Jets in preseason game one last year is the sole reason to this moment that I still have any hope that he could turn into something as a viable second-round pick, because he had 25 yards after the catch, making a guy miss, and then literally dragging multiple defenders for the last 10 yards. He looked like a more athletic Jason Witten, big target in the middle of the field on a Driscoll pass, a little pop pass. And that is still the highlight.
Yeah.
He caught five balls last year. He did catch a pass from Tressway on the fake punt in the NFC Championship game, which was kind of the big moment of his entire rookie season. But I actually talked to him out at camp, and he said something that was really interesting. I'm paraphrasing. But he basically said, look, the best thing I can do is my ability after the catch.
Yeah.
Like, my secret sauce, when I have the ball in my hands, I'm going to make some people miss. I'm going to run some dudes over. He's got, like, a little Chris Cooley to him in that way. But he never catches the ball. And he was like, I haven't had the ball.
Yeah.
Now, some of that could be his fault. Some of it could just be that Ertz is really good. Some of it could be the team didn't trust him enough or what have you. But, you know, if the thing you do best, Linnell, is make breakfast food and you're – cooking at a restaurant where they don't make breakfast food, we wouldn't know that you're a good cook.
Exactly.
And so they got to get him the football, and this is the time to do it. It's unlikely that it's going to happen much early in the season as long as Ertz is healthy. But tonight we should get a chance to find out what he looks like. Does he get open? Does he get targeted? Because if you just keep playing games against backups and you're not open and you're not targeted, it tells me a lot.
That's the thing to me that also, you know, makes the Terry McLaurin saga a little bit more interesting, how they would try to manufacture offense if they were without him to start the year. More 12 and 13 personnel. Last year when you were in 12, it's Zach Ertz and John Bates. Do we see more 13 this year because there is a confidence in Ben Sinnott and what he could ultimately be? I want to give him some credit, though. I thought he competed his tail off as a blocker. Like, he is physically imposing, Jeeps. Like, you've got the chance to stand next to him. Like, it's not like he's got, like, baby fat on him. Like, the kid's pretty cut up. He's huge. He moves well, as we've seen. I just think, to your point, need to get some more opportunities from him as a pass catcher.
Let's go to Elijah in D.C. wants to hop in. Elijah, who you watching tonight?
What's up, Elijah?
What's going on, fellas? This was kind of tough for me. I wanted to say Trey Amos. I wanted to say Bill. I'm going to go with Kane Medrano. What I'm hoping to see is all of these rookies, I'm even willing to bet that Washington's rookies may be the most pro-ready. I'm not willing to say at the top, but I think when you have guys that were leaders on their squad, certain aspects of leadership, certain aspects I'm seeing, I want guys to be confident in their roles or confident in their skill set. I think we got some rookies, but they're a little bit older, and they were leaders on their squad. So what that looks like on a down-to-down basis is what I'm interested in. How are they able to – what is the new responsibilities? You went with a guy like Ben Sinnott. Is he able to because if you can't help your quarterback out, you're not going to be on the field. Is he able to get from his spot and Jaden Daniels says, I need you to go to this part of the field? Does he know what his new responsibilities are? Because that's what we need. We have a lot of moving parts on offense. And we need guys who really know what their new responsibilities are once things get moving. And this is going to be a team that is going to require you to move and
block. Well, the tempo. Appreciate the call. I mean, the tempo makes that pertinent, right? Because they're going to run plays at a rate that very few teams are. We saw that with Cliff Kingsbury last year. Two things real quick. One, on Ben Sinnott, it's the tight end position that we're talking about. We're not talking about quarterback. So, yes, Ertz being very good is going to hurt him being heavily involved. But he should still be able to get on the field.
Bingo.
I know John Bates is a blocker, and he's a really good blocker, but Ben Sinnott's okay at blocking, and he's better as a receiver. Like, there's ways. And by the way, if you are proving in practice that you need to be involved, then they'll run 13 personnel. Like, they're going to have a three tight end set for you. So he can fight his way onto the field, number one. Number two on Medrano, just as a note from my discussion with him a few days ago at practice, he played for linebackers coach at UCLA, Ken Norton Jr., who is currently the linebackers coach for the Commanders, and a big reason why they drafted him, in my opinion. In fact, he wasn't even heavily involved in talking with Washington or meeting with them a ton before the draft, but I think they knew everything they needed to know because Norton was here. But I say that to agree with the caller. He feels like he's more ready. He has more answers than maybe a late-round pick normally would because he's kind of played in the role, played in the defense, albeit in a varying degree, with Ken Norton previously. Let's go to Luke in D.C. Grant and Danny. Luke, what's good? How are you?
Fellas, how we doing?
Doing
good,
well.
Man, good.
I'm excited for Sam Hartman. Quite literally excited. He is you talk about intangibles a lot. He's got all the tangibles. He's got the hair. He's got the body. He's got the suntan lotion. I'm sure the sun is looking good on him after being in camp all year. I'm excited to see him, not just because he is quite possibly the most attractive man in the NFL, but also because at some point when we're up, 28 against the Giants, whether we're beating the Eagles by 30, we're going to need someone to come in and fill that garbage time duty. So I want to see if he can step up and be that guy.
Yeah, if being handsome accounted to making plays,
dude,
we'd have ourselves a quarterback controversy in D.C., but I don't think it does. So I'm actually, shtick aside, I agree. He's one of the most handsome gentlemen in D.C. sports. But he's got himself a competition to win with Josh Johnson. He's Jaden's boy. I think he's going to be around one way or the other, probably on the P squad. If not, I would think you could get him there. I can't imagine that many teams would be lining up to cut a quarterback to bring him in. But after last year, you'd like to think, Linnell, he could go from the practice squad to just being on the 53 regularly as your third quarterback. Otherwise, why are you spending the time developing and grooming him?
Well, I think the hope is at some point he is able to be your backup quarterback. Like, I would think, that's why he's still in the system. He's actually had a pretty good camp. He didn't get to throw a lot during the offseason program because he had shoulder surgery, but you know, when we're talking about plays that Jalen Lane has made and Ja'Cory Brooks have made and Michael Gallup, those are coming on the receiving end of a Sam Hartman pass. Like, so I think, you know, he has had a pretty decent camp. All shtick aside, to your point, like, I'm pretty intrigued by the young man, too.
Mike Giardi, who covers the New England Patriots in Patriots country up in Boston for the Sports Journal, is going to join us coming up in just a few. He just got back to me, so I want to touch base with him on the matchup tonight and how much the Patriots starters are going to go, if at all. We'll get some of those answers next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.